It is time for the Landry Football Report. Chris, it's Grant and Doug. How are you?
I'm doing good, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Well, I'm doing good, but you know what? Last weekend on both Saturday and Sunday, and you can even include Friday for that matter, reinforced why I'm so happy that I don't gamble on football.
Yeah, well, it's a smart move by you. There's a reason why those ivory towers are made, because
right.
That's what they do. They take the percentages and they play one against the other, and they win all the time.
Yeah. I mean, let's start with football on Saturday and really Friday with the Washington Cal game or Washington State. But then, boy, oh, boy, they went down like flies on Saturday. Talk about turning the rankings upside down in college football. I mean, it almost seems like, and you said this, I think, last week and the week before, you know, there's Alabama and then there's everybody else. But then we said that last year and they didn't win the national championship.
Yeah, you know, listen, you don't know, all it takes is one game, and you never know what could happen in a one-game scenario. But, you know, Clemson, for example, this is a team that struggled a little bit with Boston College more than they should have a few weeks ago. And you see the signs of, hey, a lot of loose ends, a lot of undisciplined play. And, well, you know, you end up doing that enough, you end up getting caught. Syracuse was able to get it done at home. And Washington State is, you know, a good team, not a great team. And, of course, they got a lot of bump with their win, big wins this year. But I never saw them as a top 10 caliber team. So they go on the road. Maybe not quite as ready to play. There you have it. And so on and so forth. We see that more and more each and every week. I don't see a lot of great teams. I see some good teams. I do think Alabama's kind of head and shoulders above the rest, as you mentioned. They made it to the championship game and had some issues down the stretch. And they lost the game to Deshaun Watson, who's now playing very good on Sunday. So it is a long season, and I put up something on LandryFootball.com this week, and it was applying to kind of the NFL, but it's applicable to college. Is, you know, these teams, these players, these coaches, these teams, they don't stay the same. You either get better or you get worse throughout the course of the season. So we tend to want to define teams by what they were the last time we saw. Well, that's not what they are. That's what they were, and what they are is what they're going to be today and then next week, and it's how you grow from it and develop in progress, or in some cases regress, that will determine how good and who's really good by season's end.
You know, Chris, Coach Saban at Alabama gets some, you know, flack about dealing with the press and different things, but it looks like he was spot on talking about, you know, maybe his team reading some of the press. Now you see all these upsets. That's what's happening to some of these other teams, but he has his team chugging along. It might not be sexy. What do you see from Alabama that you're liking?
Well, you just hit on it, Doug. That's what makes him – that's what separates him from everyone else. Yes, he gets the best players. Yes, he's the best at developing players and teaching scheme, but of the things that he does the very best, that's the most unique, is just what you said. He gets his guys to play at the highest possible level relative to their capabilities of anybody in the country, maybe anybody that I've ever seen, because he challenges them not to beat their opponent, but to be the best on every play. So you see them on the sidelines, and they're up 35, and it's 4 minutes left in the game. Everybody else is filtering out the stadium. They could care less. The game is over. But for him, it's teaching moments. Yeah. You don't play good technique, well then, okay, well, you don't want to play good technique now. Go ahead and start to develop bad habits. Then when it's in the fourth, 4 minutes left in the game that's tied, all of a sudden you've ingrained bad habits, and you're not as sharp as you need to be. So do it right every time. Stay focused and live each play as it's a game in and of itself, and try to win that play. Even though the game is already out of doubt, win that play. And it's the focus that he provides that is unique. And you listen to his players, and I've been around the players in the program, they all buy into that because of the results. And they understand that it's going to help them in their pro career. It's going to help them get drafted higher. It's going to help them win championships. And it's all to the benefit. So he's more than happy to have people say he's a curmudgeon, he's ornery, whatever. he's willing to accept that because it works for him.
We're talking with Chris Landry. It's the Landry Football Report, and we invite everyone to check out his website. It's phenomenal, LandryFootball.com. You know, you and I and Doug, we've talked about, you know, what are the issues with the Raiders, and as they get ready to take on Kansas City tomorrow, because I asked you last week, you know, bigger concern, defense, offense. And you said defense, and I would agree with that. But, you know, to me, I think their bigger concern right now is offense, because that's how they won last year. And if their offense can't score, you know, at least 20-plus points a game, they're not going to win. They're not good enough to win. So what do you see as the issues on offense?
Well, you know, I think that, first of all, you're right. They're not going to win. And my thought, you know, last week was that I think they'll fix the offense. I think the offense will come back, whereas the defense is more, you know, an issue long range. But if they don't play better on offense, they're going to have a hard time, you know, winning five or six games, because that is where their bread is buttered. I'm seeing maybe a little bit of issue of timing, and obviously coming off of an injury, they're not real sharp. That is very alarming to this point, and I'm just going to say beware this week. Everyone's expecting Kansas City to respond. They lost last week, but this is a desperate Raider team right now, and I think they're on the verge of kind of losing their season if they don't play much better, appreciably better. So I'm banking on that team playing better offensively starting this week.
When you say that, you see a Kansas City team that just looks like Pittsburgh absolutely has their number. So when you look at a Raider team that's desperate and you look at this matchup, do you see more of that desperality rising to the top, or is Kansas City just absolutely the class of the AFC right now?
I don't think they're the class of the AFC. I think they're the most consistent team in the AFC, and I think that it really, you know, you look at them, and they've been more consistent than Pittsburgh. But, you know, Pittsburgh does have their number, and if they play in the playoffs, I still like Pittsburgh, you know, if I looked at it right now. But we'll see if they're healthy and where they're healthy and where they're weak going into the playoffs. But, no, I don't see them as head and shoulders above the rest. I look at teams, Doug and Grant, that, you know, it's like the Giants last week, and, you know, no one gave them a chance in Denver. And you look at them and you say, you better be careful for your Denver. This is, hey, they're making changes, new play caller on offense. These guys are, they're getting paid. Their jobs are on the line, players and coaches. Beware of that team that is desperate. And, you know, I think right now that the Raiders are kind of that 2-4. They're desperate. They cannot afford to lose to Kansas City at 5-1 and expect to even be in the playoff race or conversation. So, listen, we'll see. It may prove the latter that, hey, you know, Kansas City's just better and the Raiders are going to have a miserable year. But I think if it's going to rise up, I think we'll start to see, I think, at least the Raiders' best effort. If that's going to be good enough, I don't know.
Yeah, we talk about having a team's number. Derek Carr, 1-5 in his young career against Kansas City, and Chris is right. I mean, it's pretty much a must-win. You know, when you look at, you know, other teams in the NFC, you know, we all thought Atlanta coming off a bye, no problem at home against Miami, and they had a disastrous second half. What's wrong with the Falcons?
Not running the football well enough, and so they can't protect a lead. They're not rushing the passer as well without Vic Beasley. So they get a lead, they can't hold a lead. And so when you can't run the football, you can't rush the passer with the lead, you have some problems. They're playing very sloppy on both sides of the football. In fact, all three phases. I thought Miami dominated them defensively in the second half.
When you look at this Saints group, obviously no Aaron Rodgers, but have the Saints found something, do you think, Chris? I mean, they're putting up some numbers, and defensively they seem to be a little better than people might have thought.
Well, they certainly are playing better than the first couple of weeks when they started off 0-2 and just couldn't find their way defensively. They're making some plays on that side of the football, even scoring some points. Offensively, you see them getting into a little bit of a rhythm. They gave up a lead, a nice little lead that they had over Detroit, and they allowed them back in the game, but they were able to win it. So, listen, improvement, yes. I want to see how things are going forward. They get Green Bay this week without Aaron Rodgers, but they better be ready to play, as Brett Hundley will play well for Green Bay, and this is a game that the Saints could absolutely lose if they don't play well.
Why do you say he's going to play well? Tell me more about that. What is it about his game that you like?
First of all, I think he's been in that system. They're not going to ask him to do a whole lot that he's, you know, he's not Aaron Rodgers. So it's going to be the same offense, but they're not going to ask him to run and do some of the things that they ask Aaron Rodgers to do. I think he's very bright. I think he's poised. I think he's athletic. I think he's got really good receivers. And so I think he'll be fine. Now, I don't mean that to be, hey, boy, they won't miss a beat, and I still like them just as much as I did with Aaron Rodgers. Oh, no, I don't see that. But I still think that they're going to be in the NFC North race. And, you know, I expect them to really be focused on the running game a little bit more. They're going to have to play better around him as opposed to, you know, at times leaning on Aaron Rodgers to pull him out of the fire.
Yeah. You know, one thing I love about your website, not only do you look back at last week's game, like for the 49ers who are playing the Cowboys this week, if you go to LandryFootball.com, he's got a film room review on every team. So you look back at what they did, then you look ahead to this week. And, you know, when Doug and I talk about the 49ers, you know, they've been in position, with the exception of week one, they've been in position, Chris, to win every single week, which, you know, tells me something, but it also tells me something else. So, you know, how close are the 49ers to being okay and not a winless team?
You know, I think it, you're right. It does tell me. It tells me that they're in games. I see them very well prepared. I see them playing hard. I don't see enough playmakers to finish games.
Yep.
And to find, you know, it really comes down in a lot of cases, four or five plays in an NFL game, and they don't have enough playmakers to get those four and five plays going their way. I think they'll get a couple of them this year and win a couple of games. But, you know, like, for example, they may have found their quarterback in C.J.
Yep.
Beathard. I don't know. But at this stage, it makes sense.
Yep.
Go with them, see what you got, go forward. I don't expect that. I expect them to still address the quarterback situation. You can't have enough of those guys. But I see some real positives. I look at them and I see direction. I look at the Jets and I see positive. Of course, they won three games, so
yep.
That's been the big surprise. But then, you know, you look at Cleveland, and for goodness sakes, it's
they're
getting
awful.
Worse and yeah. worse and
that's,
worse.
See, that's my point. They're 0-6, and the Niners are 0-6. But, you know, to me,
yeah.
And again, I know 0-6 is the same, but the Niners 0-6 is a hell of a lot more impressive than what the Browns are, an embarrassment.
Absolutely. They're playing better. It's the first year of the regime. There's a lot of positive where the Browns are regressing. They've been picking first, and they're getting worse. Their last two draft picks that they gave up turned out to be with other teams, Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson. They're still looking for a quarterback. I mean, and they're getting worse and worse. And you look at it and you think a couple of weeks ago, maybe they can get Cincinnati. Maybe they can get the Jets. And you just realize, you know what? They might win a game somehow, some way, when you least expect it, but it's just not going to happen. And the thought that, hey, you know what, they might be getting a little bit better, can win four or five games this year, that ain't happening. They're not even close in Cleveland to doing that.
You know, Chris, at the beginning of the year, a lot of people probably look into this matchup, a Super Bowl matchup again with the Falcons and the Patriots, both of which I would say have underachieved a little bit. How do you see this one?
Well, we talked a little bit about Atlanta and their run problems and their pass rush problems. New England has certainly had their issues. Defensively, you know, they don't have their entire package in. They've not been fundamentally sound. Really unimpressed with their gap control, and their run fits has just been really bad. This is the two teams that right now don't look like teams that were in the Super Bowl last year, quite frankly. And, you know, New England at home with Brady, you give them an edge there. But, you know, I think this is a game in which Atlanta is really going to be focused on trying to get things on track, because they have really kind of lost their way. And, you know, speaking about it, I do think they miss Kyle Shanahan as a play caller. I think that's having some effect of them getting away from the running game a little bit more than they need to be doing.
You know, I was also talking to this about Doug. You know, we talk about preseason being a waste in the NFL, and that teams with offense, you know, it takes a couple weeks to get into a rhythm. And then you have a team like Atlanta. And again, when we think of Atlanta, we think of their tremendous offense. And I think you make a great point about Kyle Shanahan not being there. But boom, they just start kind of get going, and then they have a bye week. I would hate having a bye week that early if I'm a team like Atlanta. And again, maybe I'm looking for stuff and making excuses, but I just, you know, for me, that came real early for them.
Well, yeah, you'd rather have it later in the year, although you can kind of look at when you start training camp. It's kind of you have to make a positive. The bye week is the bye week. When it comes, you take it and you try to not be negative about it. But there's no doubt that the bye week's a little bit more beneficial to you at the latter part of the year. I've had it where it's been, you know, both, and there's no doubt about it that you maybe can get some guys back, you can rejuvenate, and you can – you know, break tendencies on your self-scout a little bit more towards the back end of the season. Right now, you know, you've got less games in which to do that. So I absolutely agree with you that it is something that does have an effect on how you go about preparing for the rest of your season.
You know, Doug and I were talking about this, and again, just because I'm a Giants fan, this popped out at me, but the Giants just played Denver, who were coming off a bye. Yeah, they won. Now they're playing Seattle, who's coming off a bye. And I read that the Giants this year, I believe, have four games this year against teams that are coming off byes, which I don't know, you know, how much you know, study the schedule and look into it, but I just, that seemed high to me.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I know they look at a lot of different things, obviously, with, you know, schedules and fairness, but it is tough. You know, in college, when you have the open date, you know, for example, you know, you get certain teams that will play, have a open date prior to a big game, a rivalry game. But the NFL, obviously, is dictated for you to have that many is certainly unusual. And I don't know offhand how many are dealing with that, but that seems a little high to me. I would agree with you. And certainly, listen, you can take it in a positive or a negative way. As you mentioned, it sure didn't give Denver any advantages. They weren't ready to play. And you wonder a little bit. Again, you give guys time off, but sometimes when you do it, they lose a little bit of that rhythm, particularly early. And I do think that a lot of the problems that we have, and why I always say about it's important to really monitor these teams, and they're going to look different in 5 or 6 weeks, is you go back, and again, I put that article up on the website. I think it's a good read, and if I may say so myself, because it takes into account how many practices you have leading up to training camp, and you realize that once you get into deep into the season, you're able to install more and do more, and it's natural the more you practice, the better you're going
to
get.
You know, and I want you to expand on that for the people that haven't been to LandryFootball.com as we're talking with Chris Landry, the Landry Football Report, because, you see, to me, that's what's so different about your website. It's not just about the game that was just played on Saturday and a look ahead this week. Your website encompasses things in football that I think a lot of people wouldn't even think of.
Well, I appreciate that, Grant. And one of the things we try to do is, again, we try to do things that research that we do in my work, Landry Football Operations, as a coaching and scouting consultant to teams and college programs. We try to research things and do things that are beneficial, and we try to bring some of that to the fans at LandryFootball.com. So, you know, how many practices has a team had in OTAs? Not many. Training camp, not many. Padded practices. So when you start to look at a team and you see, well, you know, they're not very good. What's wrong with them? It's week five, week six. They really haven't had a lot of padded practices, and as a rule, a lot of teams are good. Now, why is Kansas City that much better? Well, it's a fair point. It's a good point, but let's see how these teams progress. And are some teams that are having success, are they really that good, or are they the benefactor of maybe playing some teams that weren't as good when they played them that are going to be better at the back end of the season? It's all food for thought, because as you get deeper into the season, normally you get better. You get better as long as you're not dealing with a ton of injuries, which can kind of bring you back to the pack. But I think it is something to keep in mind, and it's just simplistic things like, you know, by the end of the year, you know, let's say you get in the middle of the year, you've got 80 practices. Well, if you're working, if you have practice, I don't know if you're in music or anything, you know, if you have 10 practices, 80 practices, which common sense, you're going to be a lot better once you get into the 50, 60, 70th practice as you're going to be in the early part of the year. I think that has an effect on how teams play and how teams look and how they progress, or in some cases regress, because some of these really good teams that are not playing well, that are off their mark, become a little bit better as the season goes along. I mean, try to figure out the Pittsburgh Steelers. 2 weeks ago, they could run the football well. You know, last week against Jacksonville, they weren't very good. This past week, they're very good. It's the inconsistencies that kind of is what you strive for, is being consistent. The inconsistencies show, you know what, really good team 1 week, a team that's turning the football over a lot that can't run the football the next.
Chris, when you look at the Eagles, a good matchup on Monday night, any way that Carson Wentz starts to become in this MVP conversation?
Oh, why not? I mean, I think he's a high-level quarterback. I think he's playing, you know, within the range of the top 5 or 6 quarterbacks in the league right now to this point. The kid is smooth. The kid knows where to go with the football. He's got all sorts of arm talent. He's got the ability to find open receivers quickly. This kid gets it. He's a gym rat. This kid's the real deal. And again, Philly, you know, perfect example, and we talked about Cleveland's situation and not getting it right. Philly went up, got the guy. He's a guy. We see what the Rams are doing. They got their guy. Now they're building a team around him. It's a good offensive line. The defense is well schemed. I'm not buying the Eagles as the best team in the NFC. I think right now to this point they probably played it. But to my point, are they the best team or are they just the team that's played the best to this point? That may change in 6 or 7 weeks. It may not. That's what's fun about the season. We'll determine that as we go along.
Chris, thank you as always. Have yourself a great week, weekend, I should say, and we'll chat with you next Wednesday. Be well.
Hey, you guys do the same. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, that's Chris Landry, the Landry Football Report.